Welcome to That Foreign Feeling, a podcast that creates space for conversations surrounding mental health, grief, and loss. When you may not know what you are feeling exactly, but you know something is different. You may not be able to explain it or understand it. All of these feelings are what we call that foreign feeling.
Hello and welcome to another episode of That Foreign Feeling. Today, Grace and myself, Steph, will be your hosts. And we're going to talk about how nature affects our mental health. So first up, I'm going to start us off with a quote from an article by the American Psychological Association. And it says, there is mounting evidence from dozens and dozens of researchers that nature has benefits for both physical and psychological human well-being. The article briefly mentions that most research so far has focused on green spaces, such as parks and forests, but now they're studying blue spaces as well, like river and ocean. That's the first time I've ever heard it. And I never honestly thought about them differently besides, like, obviously. But yeah, what kind of spaces draw you in? Did you ever think of it like that before, green or blue spaces?
Yeah, we've talked about it in school, actually, green spaces, but I didn't hear blue spaces. But now that you pointed out, I'm definitely a blue space gal. because I always prefer to go to the beach, or in La Crosse we have the river, so I would prefer to go walk by the river than to go walk in the bluffs. But that's just me. Water just makes me feel better, and I can even just being by it for like 10 minutes, I'm better. So Clay always drives me to like Galveston, and when we're in Texas, because all I want to do is see the beach. I don't really need to swim in it. I don't need to do anything with it. I just need to see it. And that always helps.
So I can't figure out if I'm green space or blue space, because we did a lot of sailing. I like being by the water too. I love being up by like Bayfield and Ashland and stuff like that in Wisconsin. So anyways, some benefits they talk about. Nature has been linked to a host of benefits, including improved attention, lower stress, better mood, reduced risk of psychiatric disorders, and even upticks in empathy and cooperation. The article also brings up a good point. Our ancestors, they depended on nature for survival, lived in the wild, and that we may have an innate drive to connect with nature, though I don't feel any innate urge to connect with bugs personally. That's something in the article that was for me. Because I don't like ticks, and I live in the middle of their breed.
I do not like ticks either. They freak me out. And especially when you have to look through your dogs for them. That's even worse.
It's a tiny little magician that can appear out of nowhere and bring you disease. I just don't want to be around it.
And if someone that's listening, that doesn't know what a tick is, it's literally like half the size of your pinky nail. That's about the size of it. And you can't squish it. You have to like either flush it down the toilet or like cut them with a knife. Like that's the only way to like actually get rid of them. Like they are disgusting. they give you Lyme's disease.
So yeah, they're smaller than that here. It's terrible.
Well, that's probably a big one. A big one is half of your pinky nail. They can get really tiny.
They're eating you. Okay.
Yes.
So, if you can't get to a green space or a blue space, they have findings in the article that mentioned the benefits of even just kind of like what you talked about, having a few moments. Like being there for a few moments. If you can't though, pictures, they're having findings that pictures and views of, and it mentions green spaces, like being at a park or any green space, being able to perk up a tired brain, or even listening to nature sounds, being linked to better performance. I wonder if that's because like you start observing like naturally, like it's just in us to start. If we put ourselves in that kind of environment, we're going to start with less distractions and stuff like that. We're going to start observing what's around us, how things are working. And that gets you into such like a mindful state. Cause like now I can sit, if I can sit outside on our deck and I know what that red-belly woodpecker sounds like, and it'll have two different calls, and like one it's trying to communicate with the other, and the other one it's just ticked off, like, and stuff.
Yeah,
they made a hole in our, or they made a nest in our tree. But an eastern starling, I have to identify these, and whatever came and took it over last week, and then I didn't see them all week, and that eastern starling was in there. In their tree hole, their nest, but they have reclaimed their kingdom as of yesterday due to my observance. But and then they were like angry, chirping or whatever. Anyways, I feel like it makes you observe and like pay attention, because even in the midst of it all the time, life's so busy that it's like new to us, which is kind of sad.
Yeah. And I feel like it's kind of like an escape too, like from reality. Like when I like go to the beach or wherever, like I was giving examples before, like nothing else seems to matter to me. And it's just realizing that the world is like so much bigger than just like my little problem on my computer or whatever I'm dealing with at the time. That like there's just so much out there to do and to see, and that it will get better, and like there's stuff out there that can help like push you through. Well, me, because that's my therapy, is going to the beach. But I definitely think that that helps get like a different perspective on things too.
Yeah, different textures, sounds, views, and stuff. So so what about the amount of time we spend outside? That's because sometimes like, well, and I know even like with homeschooling and stuff, like being outside all day, like some people will talk about, or just making sure certain amount of hours. Well, it's not the only element to consider, like how much you spend outside. Feeling connected to nature is huge. So they say social isolation is typically associated with worse subjective well-being, but the researchers found that when people with low social connectedness had high levels of nearby nature, they reported high levels of well-being. This is also probably why more people who are introverted but enjoy nature and feel connected to it also experience enhanced well-being. So when it comes to time-wise, it's kind of like working out a little. A little is better than completely none at all.
That's good.
Kind of the conclusion that they came to.
Yeah, that's helpful though.
Yeah. So, if you don't have a lot of nature around you and stuff like that, and are worried how to connect with nature, there is something that I ran across called ecotherapy. And there's, and like, there's always, well, I don't know. We live in such, I feel like it's such a blessed place when it comes to nature, because even if we weren't by it, we were in town, there's still trees in town around it, and easy to get, go drive to places. There's nature preserves. So if anyone is like struggling finding like a good spot to connect to and stuff like that in nature, I would just recommend plugging that in and like nature near me, and or something like that. So ecotherapy is a formal type of therapeutic treatment, which involves doing outdoor activities in nature. There isn't one single definition of ecotherapy, but it's often used to describe a regular structured activity that can be led by trained professionals, sometimes therapists, where their support you focuses on doing an activity rather than on your health, takes place in a green environment. But also I feel like there's that's what the article is saying, but I feel like there's blue. Like, you go river rafting, kayaking, people leave groups. It's related to exploring and appreciating the natural world and involves spending time with other people, although you can always choose to interact at your own pace. So that bit of information there was from another site called mind.org, actually from the UK. And these will all be listed in our show notes. So I'm sure there's times where we've gone out and had ecotherapy, kind of like what we're talking about, and connecting to nature, you know, take out the professional and engage with others. And those, if I look back, those are some of like my best times. Mm-hmm. Which is now easier to see if I'm thinking of like, okay, when do I have a memory with a green space or a blue space? So I bet that's helpful. Like remembering like, oh, I'm not having a good day. I'm going to think about some good things I can be thankful for. And if I have a hard time thinking of it, I could be like green space, blue space. When was I in those spaces? Mm-hmm. And stuff. And it's going to make it easier to like come up with something.
Home and a family business, it doesn't take much for my schedule to get thrown off. Flexible therapy options has been a lifesaver. That's why I choose BetterHelp, the sponsor of today's podcast. I can change my appointment easily via their app, switch from a video call to a hands-free phone call if I end up on the road, or change from a video or call to real-time messaging from my phone or computer if my kids are around. If you think BetterHelp could be the right choice for you in your unpredictable schedule, check out our description and look for the link betterhelp.com/thatforeignfeeling. Clicking that link helps support this podcast, but it also gets you 10% off your first month of BetterHelp so you can connect with a therapist and see if it helps you. Again, we will have that link in our description below, but if you have a pen handy, that's betterhelp.com/thatforeignfeeling. Thank you, BetterHelp, for sponsoring this episode.
So here's a quote from the article on the Mind website, mind.org.uk. And as someone who is socially anxious, I found it much easier to chat to people and make friends when you have a practical task to do together. You have easy common ground, and there's never pressure to chat if you don't feel like it. I've got to know some of the best people I've ever known whilst delousing chickens and cleaning donkey hooves. This kind of work is extremely bonding.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you and your sisters do a lot with horses.
Well, I wouldn't say I do, but I like to watch. I like to be involved. But no, I think that's definitely brought my family closer. I mean, I'm not there all the time, but like, they go out and they do chores morning and night. And like, that's just something that like, they're all doing their own part, but everything gets done. And I can just assume that their relationships have grown through that work and like communication too, like who's doing what, who's scooping horse crap and who's throwing the hay down. Like, it's like all
group has accomplished something, but you got to together talked when you wanted to talk.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good, especially when, you know, everyone decides to go out and help there a few times that, you know, some people struggle inside, but it all gets done eventually. So that's all that matters. But like, kind of like, I don't know why this reminded me of it, but like, some people who like don't have those things, like obviously I don't have something like that I go through every single day, that like I'm doing something with someone else and I'm, you know, feeling better with those people like my family does. But then it also, living like where I live right now in La Crosse, we have all of the like green and the blue spaces together. And I feel like it's very rare for like places to have all or both like so close to each other, and like how I should be really grateful for that, and like everyone that lives here, because you would think that everyone is a lot happier because of all the different hiking options and the river and the beach and everything that you can do here. Whereas I feel like we might take that for granted when I leave. And like when I graduate, I won't have such like close proximity to this stuff anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And it just like really makes you think that like not everyone has this stuff so close. And it is like, it is why we're talking about this today, because not everybody is around that stuff. Not everyone has access to that. So how can we bring that to them?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was a little rant the other direction, but I don't know why that just like made me think of it.
You had an aha moment. I'm just so grateful moment. That's awesome. Yeah. See, even talking about it is helping our mental health. Because then when you were talking, it's kind of like walking on a treadmill inside. I mean, I'm like a tenth of a mile in and I'll be like, I'm ready to be done because I don't like looking at the surroundings and stuff. But if I'm out in nature, I could go like miles and miles and stuff. Mm-hmm. And just be like pumped. Like there's times where I've walked inside and I've put on like and looked up like the big red trees in California, like a tour. And like, so I could at least feel like I was outside in the middle of winter and stuff.
That's smart. And I actually got a treadmill too.
Yeah.
That's the joys of living in Wisconsin when we can't walk outside anymore.
Right.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah. Another quote from this site says, being at a supported gardening project has transformed my life and saved the life of my partner who had attempted suicide 4 times before she regained hope. So there's things, and I wanted to make sure I read that because I know that there's also I don't have the right name for it. So I apologize for that. Bigger, like vegetable, like farms, co-ops that you can get vegetables from, but you also can go and volunteer there and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Community gardens and stuff. And so that would be something to look up if like you don't have the space. You travel a lot and so you can't take care of a garden at home. There's still things to be involved in that'll help your mental health, be good for your body, be good for your mind.
Yeah, and we have a few of those and lacrosse, and we always plug them as being in, since I'm obviously a public health major, which you guys all probably know that by now, but we always have to like do different volunteer activities, I think is the right way to say that, because of the different clubs that I'm in. And two of the actual places in lacrosse, there's Grow, so that's like a garden, like a community garden, and you can go and volunteer at, and then you can also like take free like fruits and vegetables, which is really huge in our community because we do see a lot of homelessness population, so that, you know, helps those people. And then we also have like the Wafer Food Pantry, which you can get a lot of volunteering hours at too, and then you actually like help the people shop and all that while they're there. So it's just like, I don't know, just another plug if you're in the lacrosse area, but there are those here. So like you said, they're everywhere. You just have to look for them.
I found a resource that I think is closer to like where you're from, because I feel like it's maybe in Appleton. Was Bobo's Nature Preserve. Have you heard of that?
No, but I can definitely look it up and see where it is.
Well, and while you do that, so they give some stats here on nature being therapeutic, and say there is much research to support that spending time in nature has therapeutic effects. For example, in 2007, the University of Essex found that a group of people suffering from depression, 90% felt a higher level of self-esteem after a walk through a park, and almost 3/4 felt less depressed. Another survey by the same research team found that 94% of people with mental illnesses believe that contact with nature put them in a more positive mood. Additionally, a study published in 2010 in the Journal of Environmental Psychology showed that spending even just 20 minutes outside per day could boost energy levels. Okay, so this preserve would be a few hours from me, few hours from you right now. Mm-hmm.
But like 30 minutes from my hometown. You're right. Yeah. It is in Appleton.
Yeah.
So, Mom, if you're listening, you need to check it out.
Well, because they have observe walks for parents with children up to age 12. They have for adults or parents, they have observe walks, and then they have something called describe walks, and then you pick forest, prairie, swamp, pond, or winter, and then scavenger hunts, both in the summer and the winter. And all of them kind of, because I've clicked through and gone through them, focus on mindfulness. But even if you can't make it there, like, you can just go to their website, which will be listed. It's bulbulspreserve.org. And you can go, I'll put the link in the show notes that's right for like where I am, where you can see that there's observe walks, describe walks. Because then if I were to click on walk number one, let's say, it starts off talking a little bit about mindfulness and experience things and being present in the moment without judging. And then they kind of tell you how to do it and clear your mind. And then they kind of lead you through. So like it says, turtle pond, find a spot a little way from others where you can gaze out at the pond, put away distractions, zip phones into pockets, take several deep breaths, breathing out as slowly as you can. Breathe in slowly, letting your breath out slowly, focusing on your body to be completely silent. Listen to the sounds around you. What sounds do you hear? How many different sounds do you hear? As thoughts come in your head, try to push them out. And so it goes on with your typical mindfulness-led kind of meditation. And then it tells tips like, as you walk, use your senses to notice and experience colors, textures, smells, and sounds around you. And then it'll go through, it has way more maple trees, prairie platform. So it kind of helps you the whole time. So if you're getting like distracted, you're like, I don't know what to do. So this is just harder. And now I don't like being in nature. Like this will bring you back to, because it's hard. If you're in this hard spot, when I'm in a hard spot, like it's hard to quiet your mind. I remember being in therapy and DBT and like honestly learning to like when I'm driving, if I'm getting in that place in my head, I would literally have to be like treat, just, mm-hmm. and just say every time I see a telephone pole, pull, 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 and like start observing something that's going to be in an abundance so that that other stuff can like go away and I can get some peace and stuff.
Yeah.
So like maybe it sounds like silly, but I'm just saying like it's a proven thing and it works and stuff. So yeah. And then the describe walks kind of the same thing. They tell you, they go more into textures, like find something round, smooth, this rock around, find something bumpy.
So is this something you do on your own, or is it something that you go
with a group? So, but if you want to do it on your own, they have it for you.
Oh, so you can choose if you're like comfortable doing it with other people or not, or if you would want to just go on your own.
So, looking, but I mean, I feel like in my head it was like a tour, but I don't
know.
But I'm sure that at a nature preserve and stuff, you would have people there that would offer to go and take you through if you didn't feel comfortable walking through the woods and stuff like that. So, yeah, I thought that was super awesome how they had that.
That is so cool.
And stuff. And I was like, oh, that's close to Grace. So now she can go try it and then she can come and tell all of us.
I should try it before I leave. It would be really cool. Do they allow pets?
You like pets are allowed in nature preserves.
Yeah, you would think so.
Your doggy plastic bags for.
Yeah. Just be a good human. Yeah. Pick up after your dog.
Yeah. So just
yay. Oh, thanks for finding that, Steph. That's super cool.
You're welcome. Yeah, I mean, I just know I can sit in a deer stand all day for like 10 hours, which doesn't make any sense because I do get a little bit bored. But there's so much to look at. And then when I don't have the opportunity to just sit out in nature, I want to be there. So there's definitely kind of indescribable peace that you get from being out in nature that I feel like it's good for all of us. But
yeah, you could probably also just go on their website and like find what they have if you're not in that area. Like you don't have to go to this specific one to like right. use it, you know. So if you wanted something to help guide, as long as you have a little walking path or something, you could probably use it.
Mm-hmm. And you can do, I mean, getting out in nature. I mean, if that stuff sounds super boring, I've taken my kids out and let them bring their wood swords and we've hide a plush dragon and then they have to go find it like using like their compass or like something like that. And stuff like be silly and creative and just get out in nature because it's a proven fact that it's going to make things better for you and you don't even have to do anything but be in it.
Yeah, just be there.
Cue the kids. I heard the doors opening. Hello. So that is a perfect for ending.
Yes.
This podcast. And we hope you guys enjoyed it. I know like we don't know all the facts, so we use resources and articles and stuff like that. And we hope that it blesses you and gives you some ideas or brings up some good memories that you have in your green or blue spaces and that we all can take advantage of the nature and the gift that it is around us and share it with somebody. Let them know. Ask them to go on a walk. Go to this website that we have listed and check out what they have for a scavenger hunt. Make your own and stuff because you need a good mental health. And this is just another tool. So thanks for tuning in.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Thank you for listening to That Foreign Feeling. For more information on the butterfly path or this podcast, visit thatforeignfeeling.com.